Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Westlife Foodworld Limited Q4 and full year FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during a conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. We would like to remind you that certain statements made by the management in today's call may be forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect management's best judgment and analysis as of today. The actual results may differ materially from the current expectations based on a number of factors affecting the business. Please refer to the safe harbor disclosure in the earnings presentation. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Jajal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Bikram. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Westlife Foodworld earnings conference call for the fourth quarter ended 31st March 2023. I am Chintan Jajal, Lead IR at Westlife. From the management team, I have with me Mr. Amit Jatia, Vice Chairman, Ms. Smita Jatia, Director, Saurabh Kalra, Managing Director, Mr. Akshay Jatia, Executive Director, and Mr. Saurabh Bhudolia, Chief Financial Officer. We will kick off today's conversation with Smita sharing her thoughts on overall business progress and outlook. This will be followed by Akshay taking us through operational, financial, and strategic highlights. Post that, we can open the forum for questions and answers. We will be referring to the earnings presentation and financial releases available on the stock exchange and the investors page of our website. With that, I now request Smita to commence the session. Thank you, and over to you, Smita.
Thank you, Chintan, and a very good afternoon to you all. On behalf of the Westlife Foodworld team, I'd like to warmly welcome you to our investor update. It gives me great confidence and happiness to share that we have delivered another strong quarter, resulting in a record year. We can say with great optimism that our strategy is generating growth and strengthening our brand year after year, and we have now established a new baseline to build upon. We also acknowledge that our strong performance is a result of great teamwork and individual efforts. Towards that end, we are rewarding our employees with the highest ever variable pay. We also celebrated our success in a grand convention in Pattaya, wherein 650 of us got together and aligned to the organization's vision. We achieved execution excellence through our focus on menu, meals, and branding. Our increased sales reinforced our belief in our bricks and clicks omni-channel strategy, in which dine-in and convenience channels complemented each other, providing consumers with more occasions and options to experience us. We have consistently driven efficiencies in utilities, supply chain, and productivity, resulting in margin improvements. Our consistent focus on the right network and economics, cost management and profitability, and seamless service at every customer touchpoint throughout the year has enabled us to build a strong business model, which is broadly debt-free and a much-loved brand. Our expansion plans are on schedule to add 40 to 45 new restaurants in FY24. If we continue to grow at this rate, we will be well-positioned to provide all our stakeholders with accelerated business results and long-term value. We also promised a strong succession plan for the company, and to that, organization elevated Saurabh Kalra, our COO, to MD, with effect from March 2023. I'm also delighted to inform you that Rohit Kumar and Sohil Nalla joined our teams as CHRO and supply chain head, respectively. We are confident that the knowledge and expertise of our management team will continue to enable our differentiation. In conclusion, I'd like to say that I'm proud of the remarkable progress we've made on our strategic growth levers, which include driving profitable growth, increasing wallet share, exploring white space opportunities, expanding our geographic footprint, and increasing market penetration. I believe we are growth trajectory and will continue to build on all our competitive strengths and further our business advantage. I'd like to thank all our shareholders, customers, partners, and employees for their contribution to our strong performance. I will now request Akshay to share the operational highlights of the quarter gone by.
Good day, everyone. I hope you have been able to go through the numbers. FY23 was a great year for us, where we executed our strategic goals flawlessly. During the year, we have grown from strength to strength, achieving market-leading performance across all core parameters and establishing a new baseline. With the highest ever annual sales at Rs. 22.7 billion, backed by 36% same-store sales growth. Our average unit volumes crossed Rs. 66 million, with nearly 60% of sales driven through digital. Our EBITDA margin was the highest ever at 17.3%, while ROCE stood at 31%, with a strong financial position. Looking at the year, we can finally say we have emerged bigger, better, bolder, which is what our goal was when we entered the COVID period. Moving to quarter four, it is very encouraging to see that the growth trend has persisted across channels, geographies, and the portfolio. Overall, sales during the quarter grew by 22% year-on-year on the back of very healthy same-store sales growth of 14%. Our on-premise business gained significant traction by growing 38% year-on-year, led by a continued strong uptick in the dine-in business. A key driver of this performance is our robust value proposition backed by relevant offerings and consistent investments in modernizing our restaurants, which offer memorable customer experiences. As of March end, over 72% of our restaurants are in the Experience of the Future format. Our off-premise business continued to rise steadily across on a high base, contributing over 40% to the business. Our McDelivery platform continued to grow at 1.5x the growth of third-party operators. We introduced our new McDelivery app in March. It has a highly scalable backend with significantly enhanced user experience design. It will help us drive much higher levels of consumer interaction while offering the ability to manage greater order volumes during peaks. Our menu innovation, centered around burgers, meals, and chicken, and McCafe continues to work well for us and captures diverse preferences. Our Chicken Big Mac launch elevated the Mac platform and burger meals while bolstering our market position in chicken. McCafe beverages also grew strongly. I'm pleased to share that we saw continued improvement in our great tasting burger scores and coffee scores, which stood at the highest ever mark in Q4. Geographically, West and South markets continue to grow steadily. Digital sales in Q4 jumped sharply to 62%, led by improvements in self-ordering kiosks and an increased number of EOTF stores. Moving to slide number 10 on profitability, we saw an overall improvement in margins. Gross margins improved by 371 basis points year-on-year, led by one-time volume delivery incentive, cost savings, and flow-through of earlier pricing actions, while EBITDA margins grew by 51 basis points to 16.5%, with gains being partially offset by higher G&A. Our cash PAT stood at Rs. 567 million in Q4, implying a 10.2% margin. During the quarter, we added 18 new restaurants, achieving the annual target of 35 new restaurants in FY23. With this, we now have a total of 357 restaurants, including 311 McCafés, 68 drive-thrus, and 220 EOTF restaurants spread across 56 cities. Going ahead, we have further stepped up our 40 to 45 new restaurants in FY24, eventually moving towards our vision of having 580 to 630 restaurants by 2027. I would also like to touch upon another topic which was discussed during Strategy Day back in early December. As you would know, the business is generating a healthy amount of cash. perhaps slightly more than what we will need for network expansion, CapEx, and other business activities. Hence, we were working on refreshing our dividend distribution policy with an aim to balance shareholder reward while retaining sufficient capital for growth. Accordingly, today, the board approved an updated dividend distribution policy which guides for maintaining around 25% dividend payout ratio subject to conditions mentioned in the policy. The policy document will be available on our corporate website shortly. Also, for the first time, Heartland Private Limited, our wholly owned subsidiary, proposed a dividend to Westlife. I will end by saying that we had a strong quarter and a remarkable year. We are happy with our achievements so far, but aiming much higher. I now hand over the call to the moderator and open the forum for your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star one now. Take our first question from the line of Jay Doshi from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a fairly decent SSSG performance. My question is, could you give us some color in terms of how SSSG trends have been during the course of March quarter, Jan, Feb, March, and continuing into April? Have you seen any deceleration in general or has it been more or less stable for you?
Thank you, Jay. I'll have Saurabh answer the question.
Okay. I think it's a good question. I think same-store sales growth for us is robust. As we've also outlined in the deck, that what we see this last year as a new baseline, which has been established. And from here on, we expect what we've talked about in Vision 2027, which is high single-digit same-store sales growth coming into account. And we believe from that standpoint, what we delivered last quarter was quite robust and quite good.
Thank you. Congratulations, Saurabh, on your elevation. My second question is on, it's a bookkeeping question. Could you please provide us breakup of CAPEX, the 270 crore CAPEX that you've done in the year, spread across new stores, EOTF initiative, any other upgradations?
Amit here, so sorry, we don't share breakup of our CAPEX, but broadly 60-70% of that is into new stores.
Understood. So in that case, is there any significant inflation in a per store, per restaurant CAPEX that you've seen given the inflationary environment? Because if I'm not mistaken, 270 crores of which CWIP increases 20, so 250 crores would be of that 60% could be 150 crores for 35 gross store openings. So am I, and it comes across as a little over 4.25 crores. So whereas our earlier impression was 3.25 or something, including McCafe. So
yeah, let me try. So you see store CapEx, therefore we always give a range. And I think we had talked about it in the last call as well, where we are now sort of between 3 and 4 crores. So for example, if you do a drive-through, it's on the higher side. And now McCafe along with EOTF and certain higher design standards that we are now following, would stay in the 350 to 4 crore range. Also remember, we have not only increased the penetration of McCafe now, almost 320 restaurants. Also now EOTF is in 72-73% of our restaurants. So there's a lot of incremental investment that has gone to keep our facilities modern. Also, I mentioned this in the past, at least I'm a strong believer that you've got to keep your facilities, your asset base very modern and relevant. And even by global McDonald's standards, in fact, 95% of our stores are in that category. So we have invested a lot of money into that. There is some IT investments as well on information technology. As the base is increasing, just to give you a small example, with 350 restaurants, you know, different cities, price points, products, deals could be different. You know, we put in a central file management system that allows us to manage our menu across all these stores sitting from the corporate office itself, and some investments in technology around our app and so on. So like I said that it's not all into new restaurants, but I hope I've answered your question.
That's fairly really helpful. One final follow-up there. So next year you are targeting 40-45 stores versus gross store openings of about 35-36 this year. So there will be 30% higher store openings. Will this absolute number of 270 crore go up, or you think that the other capex that you are doing will probably not grow or will moderate?
So our typical capex range is between 200 to 250 crores, and I think we will continue to maintain that.
Understood. Thank you so much, and wish you the very best for FY24.
Thank you. Thank you,
Jay. Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, Amit and team. Congratulations for good set of number. Just wanted to check, between last quarter and this quarter, we have added 4 new cities. So would you give us some color, some sense, how this SSG is panning out, and maybe if you have now touched upon 67 million average store sale, what are the store sales happening in these 4 cities over, say, quarter 1, quarter 2?
I mean, we don't break up our SSG by cities, to be honest. And essentially, as I think we've said in our presentation as well, that we are seeing the smaller cities respond extremely well. A lot of it has to do with aspiration. And when especially the new experience of the future restaurant, along with McCafe's opening in these new cities, we are seeing the response pretty good. So I would say that it's... But we don't share breakup, unfortunately.
Amit, just let me clarify. Is that number is significantly higher than 14%?
No, so what we've said in the past is that when we have gone into smaller towns and newer cities, we've seen a very good response for the brand because our product market fit, brand relevance has only been increasing. As a result, these smaller towns have performed very well, and they inch up to the system average quite fast. I think that's all we said in terms of color, and we continue to maintain that.
Sure, Akshay. That's helpful. My second question is that in this quarter, have we taken any price increases? And a related question to Saurabh is that what is the inflation weighted we are facing at this time?
Sure, Saurabh. So from a pricing standpoint, we haven't taken any price increase yet. We typically take 2 to 3% a year. In this year, we will take 2 to 3%. Inflation, like all of you know, is generally in range of what normal India range is, which is 4 to 6%. I think we have operated the business for 25 years with that range. The normalcy has restored, unlike last year, where there was excessive inflation. There are some commodities like dairy, which are still having a little bit of inflation, but nothing out of manageable range. I feel very comfortable on the way we have been able to manage inflation and will continue to do so.
Okay. My second last question. We have now 205 220 EOTs, which covers almost 72%. And during the investor day, you said that very quickly we want to go it to 100%. So does that mean that all the new stores what we are opening will essentially have a EOTF feature?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And my last question on the, I'm sure you will not give me the number, but this Big Mac spurt what we have done, what would be a rough contribution maybe if you can share in terms of revenue or volume or in terms of SSG growth?
As you rightly guessed, you know, we don't share breakup of our product mix. So sorry to share that we may not be able to give you that.
I wanted to check this part is really helped. So it shows in the number. So such interference, you will do more of in FY24, or it's just one of the learning?
No. I mean, see, as I said before, menu is a very, very important part of our growth around SSG. And you have to engage with the consumer, and we have 3 or 4 different ways in which we engage with them. And that hopefully that might give you some sense. So one is where we do what I call limited time line extensions. So we may take the McSpicy chicken and, you know, play with it a little bit and give lovers of McSpicy chicken a slight different flavor or something new to look forward to. Then there are platforms, and platforms are like the fried chicken where we've launched that particular platform itself. And then there are some other, you know, just seasonal things that we do, which in Diwali we may do something, or if there's a movie, you know, like Minions, we may do something with banana. So this is how we deal with it. So you will continue to see us do things around premium, around value. It will fit the particular situation in the marketplace at that time, right? So like gourmet burgers, I must say, you know, was a quite interesting thing because everybody thought and that it ended, McDonald's ended with aloo tikki and the McVeggie. But we've clearly demonstrated that gourmet burgers have done well and they are here to stay. And more recently, we did a piri piri, you know, extension around that. And that has worked very well for us as well.
I got that, Amit. I was just trying to push you to give us some sense that is there any target the management is working that certain contribution should come from the new experiments or new product developments or something like that?
No, I think that our entire goal is to grow average unit volume, and we do that through this multi-category, multi-daypart approach because we believe we're relevant across, you know, all these categories. We stand for all of them as leaders. So that's the approach when we look at new product development, because we want to launch platforms. And within the platforms, we do limited time offers, as you were saying, but the entire objective is to grow average unit volume.
So one last thing on this, maybe that helps you, that we keep pushing ourselves to look for lines like we did with McCafe. So for example, we will keep experimenting with things which will give us a very large chunk of our business for day after tomorrow. So past examples around that are the fried chicken, McCafe, and things like that. So we are constantly innovating to see, because we are saying that at least 50-60% of our business has to come from innovation over a 2 to 3 year horizon. So that keeps the brand modern and relevant, which is the vision that we've set for ourselves.
Sure, that's helpful. My last question on the margin, if you can help me, given the milk inflation, which is looking very high, rather steep, and cheese is also looking very steep, in the medium to short term, I'm not saying guidance, but should we inch up the margin, because you always have the price increase lever with you. So any indication that should we inch up more, or we will take some time to improve the margin?
No, like I said, I think the inflation is absolutely in the range. We should be able to more than easily manage the inflation at this current state of where it is right now. So we don't give any future guidance, but obviously we are comfortable managing it and continuing with the momentum which we've got as far as margins are concerned.
Thank you, Saurabh. And Mr. Kalra, congratulations for your appointment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congrats on a good set of numbers. My first question is on the gross margins, which has sequentially expanded 170 bips, so 3Q versus 4Q. Could you give some idea as to what has driven this 170 bips expansion?
Yeah, sure. So I'll have Saurabh answer that.
Yeah, so obviously there are we've given a bridge of so we have given a bridge in terms of how in the presentation also. But if you look at it broadly, if I zoom out, then obviously there have been inflation which is reduced, et cetera, et cetera. And we do go into renegotiation in the time of January. So some of it is the benefit which has come in the system, which is here to stay. And some of it is one time, which is advantage in terms of volume benefit, et cetera, which is flown back into the P&L in quarter four. So that's how it is.
Okay, so basically the 71.9 which we are seeing in our Q4, that is a more or less sustainable number is what you're seeing?
So see, this is Amit here, how I look at gross margin, as I've mentioned before, I feel that we are in very good territory with gross margin. 100 bits here and there is hard to sort of determine. At the end of the day, it's about finally delivering the operating EBITDA. So sometimes, you know, that line item goes up, sometimes some other line item goes up. But I would keep 100 bps plus minus, and I would say that's the range in which we will deal with. I think Saurabh also, would also like to add.
Yeah, hi, this is Saurabh Budholia. And there is a slight change this time while we were doing the accounting of entire COGS. As the company has taken few measures where we have started doing part of our production through the job worker, and expenses which is related to processing charges has been regrouped from COGS to other expenses as processing charges. So if you see the like to like, my gross margin should be for the quarter would be in the range of around 68.2%. Because of this regrouping, it has went up to 71.9%. This entire regrouping impact has been given in the presentation for all the five comparable period, so that the apple to apple comparison can be done.
Right, got that. But there is still a sequential increase, and I was just asking the drivers for that. So got that. Second question is, over the next 2 to 3 years, what would be your main top line and bottom line drivers? Like, for example, over the last 3-4 years, McCafe was a big driver. But now with McCafe present in a very high percentage of stores, EOTF also present in a very high percentage of stores, what are the drivers for the next few years? Because these drivers have served us well in the past, but they have sort of already caught up in terms of percentage penetration to a very large extent. Yeah, so that's my question.
Yeah, so Percy, you know, we had our strategy day in December, and we spoke about the next phase of growth being very similar, right? We've highlighted that our core remains burger, chicken, coffee. We're going to continue to double down on average unit volume growth through these categories. Secondly, we're a very strong digitally led company. So a lot of digital focus. We will continue to work on a growth pipeline as well. And we've discussed that too. So this is how we kind of built out that 4,000 to 4,500 crores of sales as a vision for 2027. And that's how growth will look like. But we'll I'll pass it on as well.
Yeah, so just to build on what Akshay said, that in the vision document, we kind of describe what we will do. But I just also wanted to clarify that by no means have we even come close to scratching the surface on either McCafe or Experience of the Future. All we've done right now in the last 4 or 5 years is, one, get the platform across our network, and two, introduce the fact that McDonald's does beverages. We still feel there is a lot of room to play out in the beverage category. And similarly, the Experience of the Future is still, consumers are still understanding it. And day by day, it is helping us get a better yield on that and for consumers to feel more comfortable. Soon, as they continue to use this, after a few years further, consumers will now be comfortable. And as they get more comfortable, sales continue to grow. So I don't think it's over. I also wanted to add that along with what Akshay said.
Right, sir. Very clear. Thanks and all the best. That's all from me.
Thank you. Thank you, boss.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. So this off-premise sales have seen some growth moderation in Q4 to about 5% despite launch of a new app. So what is the reason for that?
Saurabh, you know.
So I think number one, a lot of our growth in the last full year has been on the back of dine-in. Now, dine-in typically has got some amount of seasonality. We factored this kind of growth. We are very, very happy with 14% growth on a very high base. And we believe that this is something which is going to continue, and we'll be able to deliver our goals both for the year and for the next 5 years, as we have talked about.
Great. And this 40%, is it a optimum level of off-premise mix, or do you see a further reduction in this, Saurabh?
See, off-premise, on-premise, these are various channels to do sales, and that depends on the given point in time of where the business is. Right. So, for example, in a month of February, March, with the more exams, you will see off-premise business going up, and
see that turnaround in some other quarter. So we don't actually look onto off-premise, on-premise only from the lens of percentages. I think as long as overall the average unit volume is growing versus the previous year, we believe we are in a good space, and growth has to come from all channels so that McDonald's true omni-channel experience comes to life across channels.
Got it. And the PPT mentions that McCafe has seen strong growth in this quarter. So what is the extent of recovery in McCafe sales relative to pre-COVID on a per store level?
So we don't give breakups, but having said that, I think we've already said last quarter that both dine-in and McCafe are doing better than what they used to do pre-COVID.
Got it. Last question from my end. So we have seen a very healthy top line growth, but G&A expenses sort of remain stable at about 6% in FY23. Do you expect these levels to sustain, or it can go down going ahead?
So I think one of the guidance which we need to look at is the annual number. This has been a phenomenal year for us, and we believe we have set up a new baseline on which we need to deliver beyond this in the coming years. If you look at it, I think Smita mentioned we had a convention in Pattaya where 650 of us went and celebrated the great year. Also, on the variable incentive, we have triggered a higher incentive than what was budgeted initially. So it's been a great year. It's some of it is one-time expenditure which has come into G&A. But to me, the way to look at the entire P&L is look at the annualized P&L for the entire financial year and for that financial year.
Yeah, and longer term, you know, as sales continue to rise, we do believe that there will be some benefits that we will get out of G&A as well.
Got it, sir. Thanks. That's it for my.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now. We take the next question from the line of Chirag Luraya from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was on guidance on store addition. So we have said that we'll be opening 40 to 45 stores. Just wanted one clarification. Is it a gross store addition or a net store addition? And is there any seasonality in terms of store opening over the quarters?
Sure. So we spoke about 42, I think, new stores in the coming year as being part of our plan. This is gross. We, you know, rarely close any stores. So at the most, you know, it's at a number of 1 to 2 or so. I'm sorry, could you repeat the second part of your question?
In terms of store opening throughout the year, is there any seasonality, you know, between the quarters?
Yeah. So I mean, what you've seen this year is you've seen a large number of openings in half two. Our cycle times are long from identifying real estate to opening, especially as we're opening more drive-thrus. However, we look to even it out, you know, in the years to come. You will see marginally more store openings in half two this year as well, probably. But we'll continue to kind of show you all the trend in the years to come as we've, you know, ramped up our store opening plan.
Right. And in terms of, you know, SSG, this year, you know, we have done almost 6.6 crore as an average sale, you know, throughout the year. Do we expect high single-digit kind of SSG on this number? Is that the understanding correct?
Yeah, so the guidance we have given, you know, for the next 5 years is to maintain, you know, high single-digit SSG and new store growth on top of that. So, yes, I mean, that is our plan as well.
Right. And in gross margins, can you help us understand how, what was the quantum of one-time volume delivery incentive?
No, that comes every year, so it's more a quarter aspect. But essentially, as I mentioned in my earlier conversation, that, you know, 100 basis points here and there, but I mentioned this even a year or two ago, but we've continued to improve it. Essentially, the focus is not really to now grow gross margin, but at least to try and maintain it in this territory. The focus is really to grow sales and through operating leverage, you know, bring profit to the bottom line.
Yeah, so as we mentioned multiple times, it's about operating profits for us, and that guidance again we've given in our vision statement, and we've spoken about how we're going to sequentially year on year improve our operating profits through multiple levers, operating leverage being one of them.
Right, and just lastly, any plans to introduce chicken platform in West India, or still it is a South phenomenon?
No, currently we've retained it as a South phenomena for now, because it's still playing out extremely well over there. And when we think it's right, you know, we may decide to do what we need to do. But for example, when you saw the Chicken Maharaja Mac promotion, that was of course across West and South. So it is something that will evolve. But currently, the focus is to keep fried chicken in South India.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Amnish Agarwal from Prabhudas Leeladhar. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Amit and Akshay. Congrats on good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. So my first question is that there was a lot of buzz that the demand in the various, you can say, segments in QSRs that is slowing down. So what is your assessment and what is the current state as we are sitting already in the month of May?
So I think, you know, we've spoken about same-store sale growth delivered a very healthy number in the last quarter, and that is what we can comment on, right, as we're in the current quarter. We maintain our plan, you know, like we said, of high single-digit SSG for the year. So, you know, that's our outlook on demand as well as same-store sales growth.
Yeah, and essentially, you see, at least from our point of view at McDonald's, we believe in growing the baseline. And if you are continuously doing what I've talked earlier about Horizon 2, you know, like how we did McCafe a few years ago, and similarly, we intend to do similar things in the future. We believe that by building baseline, as Akshay said, we will be able to maintain the same store sales growth. And as long as we deliver that, I think what happens in the marketplace to some extent is irrelevant from our point of view. So we have to, of course, push harder, but we are quite confident that our foundation is strong to be able to deliver that.
Okay, so that's very helpful. My second question is that next year now we are aiming at adding, say, 40 to 45 stores. So I just wanted to understand that as we, you can say, open new and new stores, while our average last year is around 66 million rupees throughput per store. So how is the performance in the new stores, say, in the first year or second year?
No, I mean, again, we don't share breakup of how stores age and all of that. But even these numbers that you've seen is with 35 new openings, and before that 25. So on our base, the percentage of new openings have been reasonably decent. So our belief is that this 66 has to go up. The 66 million volume per restaurant per year has to go up with new stores included in that.
Okay, so it means you don't expect that any drag coming.
But whether there's drag or not, we will give you a number higher than 6.6 is the endeavor.
Okay.
So far, we've been able to do it through the last 5 years, I would say.
Yeah, sure. And my final question is on the manpower cost in this quarter. So if I look at on a QOQ basis, it has gone up from 83.7 crores to 92.6 crores. So just wanted to understand that, is there any one-time element in this?
Which number are we talking about?
Payroll and employee benefit.
Oh, payroll and employee benefits. Yeah. No, that's to do with crew. You see, what happens is, I mean, we've, as you've seen, broken up P&L, and we are able to share store-wise data. Now, what happens is that as sales go up, your crew strength required goes up as well. Overall, I think if you look at it from a year-on-year basis, we've done extremely well. 9.1% has gone to 8.9, and that normally comes through as well, because as volume goes up, your incremental cost as a percentage goes down. In a quarter, you know, things move up and down. It's hard to predict. So please look at it from a year-on-year basis.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Madan Gopal from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. This is a question slightly away from Q4 numbers. What is recently happening in the QSR space as well as the food delivery space? How do you see this new opportunity of ONDC as a strategy? Or you think it's an evolving one and we have to wait and see how it helps the restaurants?
So how we approach new areas is that we register the fact that this is something to watch out for, and we start thinking about how we could sort of apply and utilize that. So there is a lot of conversation around what its implications are from our business point of view, and that is something that will evolve quarter on quarter. So we will share more data as it evolves.
Okay, so as of now you are on an assessment mode.
Correct, correct.
But definitely as a platform, if all works well, this is one will be a different from a margin perspective, more accretive compared to the existing channels, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be more accretive. I mean, again, you have to look at my comments consistently over the last 5 years. You know, we've always been proponents of delivery. And while I see a lot of news items around how the industry is sort of up in arms against these aggregators, our belief has been it is collaborative. You got to participatively work out a business model that's a win-win for both, because finally the consumer is consuming our food outside of our restaurant on the delivery platform. So we have been able to build our business model where it's all right for us to work with the 3POs as well, which is reflective in our margin growth as well, that even with delivery business growing as a percentage larger than in-store in the last 2 to 3 years, if you notice, our margin has moved up quite well. So so I don't, at this stage, it's too early to say that it will be margin accretive or not, but I'm just trying to say that it's already decent margin for us in the current platform itself.
Sure. Thanks. We'll probably take your opinion at a later stage. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amruta from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So my question is regarding McBreakfast, as in how is the acceptance around the breakfast menu? Does it have a sizable revenue contribution to the top line?
I'll answer the easy one and I'll give the more difficult one to Saurabh. So the easy one is we don't share the breakup of our breakfast sales, but I'll let Saurabh explain what breakfast does for us.
Yeah, to me, I'll give you the flavor. We are the only player in the QSR industry doing breakfast. Out of breakfast consumption at an India level is small. And our job is to grow this. Obviously, we prioritize basis all the levers we have and what can maximize our revenue. So breakfast is always in the consideration set. It is in a horizon. We will put money on breakfast at some point in time, but we already see great green shoots. For example, if you look at the highway restaurants, especially on Mumbai, Pune, I don't think anybody can miss the McDonald's breakfast at Kalamboli and the restaurants on the highway. So we see great traction. We have to be able to be invested in breakfast is our take. And over a period of time, you will see as the breakfast market also starts to explode, McDonald's emerging, being the leader, continuing to maintain its share of very, very high percentage of breakfast in the QSR industry.
So right now, do all the McDonald's outlets serve McBreakfast, or is it a small proportion?
No, that's not the case, because some of the malls open late. So we've got around 130 odd restaurants which do the breakfast. So mostly all the restaurants which do not have any issues with the timings do breakfast. And all of them do very decently well. And we would like to keep the breakfast running and add to its value as we see that there is a big opportunity emerging.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Nuvama Wealth Research. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. So my first question is, during your five-year vision meet, you had indicated a gross margin target of 67% by 2027, and already you are touching much higher margins, around 68%, you know, in the last two quarters. So is it that, you know, like any improvement in margins going forward would be driven towards this new CapEx initiatives of tech and probably, you know, more of EOTS? So just your thought process on this.
Sure. So, you know, if you see the annualized margin, I think we're probably roughly around 67 odd percent And if you look at how margin works year on year, definitely we strive to show some improvement, but you know, food inflation in our country is pretty volatile. So as a result of that, we've broke out 4 or 5 levers in terms of how we plan to drive, you know, operating profits moving forward. Gross margin is one of them, which we'll continue to work on. You know, you'll have a few years where it'll marginally go up and probably stabilize. However, a lot of the growth is going to come from operating leverage, increasing sales, doubling volumes as we've spoken about in our strategy meet. And as a result of that, you will see a lot of operating leverage increasing our operating profits.
Yeah.
Okay, and to get my number right, you had indicated price hike of 2% in the coming year, right? So, for us, we would be taking a price hike of closer to inflation. So, you know, are we seeing less of inflation for us in the coming year, or are we, you know, just taking a lesser price hike because of increased competition? You know, just your thoughts on this.
No. So again, we've been very consistent with our price policy. Typically, we take between 2 to 3%, and it all depends on the situation at that time. At this point in time, no price increase has been anticipated. And that's where it is. In some very good years, we've not even taken a price increase, but typically we prefer to stay at the 2% in great years, and when inflation's higher, we may go to the 3-4%. That's where it stands. So at this point, we haven't decided, but that's typically our principle, how we think about it.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I would now like to hand the conference back over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you everybody for participating on the call today. We really appreciate it. Have a lovely evening and talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Westlife Food World Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining with us. You may now disconnect your lines.